As we all are aware, we are doing a book study of which book? Acts. Okay? The book of Acts. And last week we studied from the book of Acts. Good. This week we are going to study from the book of Acts. Okay. Last week we studied with the book of Acts. Good. So we all remember Acts, and it's an act. Basically, it's an act, like, you know, Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Today we are going to look at chapter 8. Okay? Acts chapter 8. Last week, which chapter did we look at? First week, which chapter did we look at? Good. So, you know, I'm just engaging with you all so that, like, you know, we all are connected over this next 30, 40 minutes. Okay? So, last week, what did we see? Yeah. Stephen, right? We saw Stephen. When Sandra showed that video, I said, "Rulaegi kya sabko?" there was a kind of, from the biblical, you know, like what we see is just a glimpse of like what happened to that person. He was been stoned to death. And we see from there, one man standing with arrogance and attitude. What was his name? Saul. Okay, so he was the one. In the end, when they killed, they went to Saul. Saul said, "Approved. He deserved it." Basically, it was like that. Okay, so he needs an approval from the Romans saying that we killed him because of some cause. And Saul is the one who stood there as a witness. And he said, "I saw this person blaspheming. I saw this person spoke against the law of Moses." And he signed it and he gave it. And he said, "It's approved. No one else is convicted. It's approved. He deserved it." And that was Saul who became Paul. In the coming weeks, we will see that interesting one. So, now let's read. You know, I would love to see the Bibles or your smartphones Bibles. So, it will be good. The text fonts, I'm not sure whether you can see it. But you can open that wherever you are. Okay, so I'll quickly read so that, like, you know, we all kind of know basically what this chapter is all about. Okay, so I'll ask someone else to read. Joel, would you like to read?
Saul approved of their killing him. The church persecuted and scattered. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. you have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza. And he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means Queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the men reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears in silence, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went out on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, had appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Thank you. It's a long chapter, but I believe that. So we all understood the context, what's happening here. Very simple stories, okay? And we read that, there is a persecution because of this. He killed, or Saul approved the killing. Not only he stopped there, he started persecuting the church. And everyone in the church, he was very clear. So he dragged people. The scripture says he dragged people. So in the home, he used to go door to door, and he used to drag people out and beat them, persecute them. And we see that, except the apostles, all of them were scattered. Scattered in the sense they all moved out in fear to different places, different cities. And then we see there is one man called as Simon, the sorcerer. And we see his story, what happened. And then we saw eunuch from Ethiopia, what happened in his life as well. So before we start looking at this chapter, let's look at Acts 1:8. Okay, this is the book of Acts, chapter started with chapter 1, and in verse 8, this is Jesus' ascension. Jesus is ascending into heaven, and this is the verse. What is it? But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so Jesus' ascension, and this is what the promise is, that you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will be a witness in Jerusalem, in Judah, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, there is no limit. And then we read Acts 8:1. That day, a severe persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. So we see what was said by Jesus happening in the coming chapters. Okay, and we saw Stephen dying, and because of that, there's a great persecution. And the verses say in Acts chapter 8 verse 1, it says this, that the church and the people were deeply been very hurt by the death of Stephen. They were all mourning. That's what the scripture says. But yes, even in that, the church scattered, people scattered, and there was a huge breakthrough. And you know, the gospel was spreading here and there to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we see that as the people were mourning, you know, they were in deep hurt, they did not stop there, or they did not say, okay, let us take some time out here and see what is happening. But they moved, you know, from that place as well. They moved from that situation, and the gospel started spreading. So even these people wanted, like, okay, little bit of, you know, they wanted the time to come out from Stephen's death. But we see this man, Saul, who is not been happy what is happening around in Judea and Jerusalem. And he wants to go behind these people, go behind door to door, and bring everyone out, beat them, persecute them, and put it in the prison. Just imagine what is happening. They are deeply hurt. One of their fellow brother has been stoned to death, and they are deeply mourning. And this fellow comes up, whose name is Saul, and he drags everyone, dragging, you know, it's like not calling them out, means bring them out, drag them out, like, you know, with their hands and legs, with the shirt, you know, pants, bring them out. So that was the persecution happening. But the apostles did not go out from that city. You know, that's very interesting. The apostles were still in Jerusalem, because the gospel need to spread where? The gospel need to spread, and which places? Jerusalem. Go to verse 1. Acts chapter 1:8. My witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and all Samaria. So there were few people who were there in Jerusalem. You see, the apostles were in Jerusalem, and the others scattered to Judea and Samaria. And we will look at what this ends of the earth, that also we can see from this chapter. So the gospel spreads. In verse 4, we see those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Okay, so it's so amazing to see, even in midst of persecution, even though in midst of challenges, the gospel spreads out. No one can stop the gospel. So what do we learn from this, or take away for us this morning, is the gospel spreads irrespective of people. Stephen died, but, you know, Saul is persecuting. It will not stop. We see in verse 4, who, you know, they scattered and preached the word. They were scattered and they preached the word. So the gospel spreads irrespective of people, irrespective of situations. They were deeply hurt. They were mourning. Situations were bad. But still the gospel continues. God's work continues. So irrespective of anything, tell your neighbor, God's work will continue. Amen. So the gospel spreads irrespective of people, irrespective of situation. His work continues. Even today, this time around the world, the gospel is spreading. Amen. Do you believe in that? Even in this second, this millisecond, there is someone where who has not known the word of God, and this gospel has been preached all around the world. And that is the fire, the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel. When I say gospel, it's the good news which we have, that Jesus died for us. He took our sins and he died for us. Not only he died, he resurrected on the third day, and we have an eternal life. And then he commanded, whoever believes in me, repent and get baptized. So this gospel was spreading, this message of Jesus, his life and his way was spreading irrespective of people, irrespective of situation. It was spreading irrespective of persecution. It was spreading. So the gospel spreads when we are scattered. Another thing which we want to learn is, it will not be, the gospel will not spread, or it will not reach outside this Panvel city or Navi Mumbai unless and until we are scattered. What does that mean? We need to move out for the gospel. So in Judea or in Jerusalem, there was a community. Everything was happening inside the room. And we see in the book of Acts, they broke bread together. They all are having fellowship together. And there was a great unity. But here, there is something which is coming up where they will have to be scattered, moved out. So the gospel will not spread inside this place. The gospel will spread when we go outside this place with the message of Jesus. Tell to your neighbor, the gospel will spread only when I move out from this place and share the gospel. And the final one is, no one can stop the gospel. That is the message of Jesus' birth and resurrection. That is the good news. No one. You know, Saul tried his best, killing people, putting in prison, but it was just spreading like fire. So no one can stop, irrespective of people, situation, challenges. Unless and until we are not scattered, the gospel will not spread out. And also, no one can stop the gospel. That's the good news. Whether we today move out or not, the gospel is spreading. The good news of Jesus is there in Panvel city as well. It is happening in the spiritual realm, which we may not see it right away. So the gospel, that is the message of Jesus, will spread irrespective of people and situation. His work will continue. And it will only continue when we are scattered or when we take a decision to move out and share. And we also need to believe is no one can stop the gospel or no one can stop the good news of Jesus Christ. So now let's come to this story. The first one we saw, the persecution. The first part, a lot of things were happening. Paul saw, you know, what you can say, Saul was there. He was dragging people from the home and he's saying no one should believe this Jesus. And he's beating them. He's put in prison. He was responsible for Stephen's killing as well. Now we know there's one man who comes there. His name was Philip. And who was this man, Philip? You know, he went, the Bible says in verse 5, Philip went down to a city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. He proclaimed the good news. He proclaimed about Jesus. So who was this Philip? This Philip is not this disciple Philip. He was the Philip who was being called for serving the widows. We remember who was called before this for serving the widows? Who is? Stephen, correct. So he was also part of the team. That was Philip. And he is not the disciple of Jesus or the apostles. He was also scattered. Means he ran away from that place where there was persecution happening. So the original disciple whose name is Philip, who he was from Caesarea, but this Philip is from another place. The second one is he was the one from the seven who was chosen for serving the food, for the daily distribution of food which was happening for the widows. And later we know, and if you read Acts, you know, 21, we see this Philip has been called as evangelist. And we also see he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. When we read the book of Acts, but as of now, right now, Philip is the only recognized as one of the seven. Okay, as of now, we just look at this person as he's the one of the seven where the apostles came. There was a conflict that this person is not getting food. This person is not getting food. They decided, let's choose some man who will serve these widows. And they chose Stephen, who died. They also chose, out of that seven, there was also Philip. And this Philip, we see, he went to a place called as Samaria. You know what? Samaria is a very difficult place. If you know the history of Samaritans, if you know, they will not believe in anything about, you know, about the law, because they had a huge difference between the original Jews. We'll look at that as well. So he went to Samaria. not only he preached the word of God, he also performed a lot of miracles. That's what the Bible says. He performed a lot of miracles as well there. In a place where it has not yet been reached, that place is known to be reluctant for the gospel. And this person goes there and shares the gospel there. Look at this person. His role was initially to just serve food and take care of these widows. And how God uses this person from there, now he is going to become an evangelist. He is going to become a person who is full of faith. He is doing miracles. He is performing things which is beyond anyone's imagination. And he also preaches the good news. So this morning, what I want to say is, you know, Jesus is the need of the hour. Jesus is the need of the hour. You know, this person was scattered. He was scattered and he went to the place and he knew what is the need in that place and he brought Jesus to them. When Jesus being placed in our lives, in our city, we see the same things which happened in the place Samaria. You know, in verse 7 it says, from the tricks, impure spirits came out many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was a great joy in that city. When there is good news, when we move out and share this good news about Jesus Christ, this is what happens. You know, we see it heals. It delivers from impure spirits. And it brings great joy. And it brings great joy. So, this morning, can we become Philip in the lives of others? And we can go to people or places like this, where people may need healing, people may need deliverance, people are waiting for the joy. Jesus is the need of the hour. You know, we see the stories over the, you know, last year after COVID, we saw so many suicides happening. Jesus is the need of the hour. Last year we saw someone was murdered in New Panvel station. Jesus is the need of the hour. You know, someone who doesn't have hope, someone who doesn't have life, someone who is down in their spirit, they need Jesus. So, people are waiting. A person like Philip will come in their life and bring this healing, deliverance, and this great joy. And we can be Philip in the lives of others. You know, one of the huge setbacks of our church, I'm talking about including me, we have not seen anyone inviting our friends to the church or any other ministries. You know, when we give invites printed in our church, we don't have anyone where we would say that, okay, this invite can be given to this person. I'm talking about secular programs. For example, summer camp. For example, a meal in the midweek. It's a huge setback. You know, the gospel will not spread out unless and until people like Philip goes out from that community, that is Jerusalem, and ready to be challenged and scattered in the city. Philip did not become an evangelist overnight. And you know, it was not his primary gifting. They call him, they give him a responsibility to serve the widows. Are you help dal chawal de dena barabar? You know, there is some differences. Sabko ek ek piece aana chahiye. That was his primary responsibility. He was being called to do that. When he moved out, he knew the gospel. He knew what is real. He knew what can change people's life. And over the period of time from serving food to others, he became an evangelist. Because the gospel, the good news in him was not, he was not able to hold it. He wanted to pour it out in the lives of many. And it was overloaded. And it wanted to come out wherever he went. And this morning, as I said, we need to be that personality. You know, we are doing this book of Acts, not that it is just one book. It is the Holy Spirit which desires our community to do. It's the Holy Spirit who is asking you and me to step out. The gospel in us, the life which we have received in us, can't remain in one place, in oneself. It needs to go in the lives of others. It can't remain only in Jerusalem. It needs to go to Judea. It needs to go to Samaria. It go to the ends of the earth. And that is what Philip did. Irrespective of his knowledge, irrespective of his primary gifting, he chose to bring the gospel to this difficult place called as Samaria. The Samaritans are very different than the Jews. Actually, and they are not Gentiles as well. They were the people, when the northern kingdom fell down through Assyria, few of them were moved to one place with the Jews to be there. And they were the one. They believed in the law, the five books of the Bible. And we see them that, you know, they never associated with the church of Jerusalem. They made another temple for themselves. That's the reason there was a huge enmity between Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Samaritans. And even if you read the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9, verse 52 to 56, it talks about when a Samaritan village did not welcome them, James and John asked Jesus if he wanted them to call down fire from the heaven and consume them. But Jesus rebuked them. So you can know the state of this city. Very different people, different culture. But you know what? No one can stop Jesus. No one can stop Jesus. Irrespective of culture, irrespective of belief, irrespective of our past, no one can stop Jesus. The good news. And we see this great man, Philip, coming and taking his place. Okay, this is what the Samaritans were. And now we see another personality coming. His name is Simon the Sorcerer. What does the Bible say about this man? Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a very long time with his sorcery. So this man is in Samaria. And Philip goes to this place. And we saw the background of this place where he is performing miracles. And this man is watching at Philip. You know, what is sorcery? Sorcery is not magic which we see it. It is not fantastic. You know, what did you say? I Got that word? Yes. Okay. It is not real. Fantasy. It is witchcraft. It is demonic. He was arrogant. He was prideful. And he claimed to be someone great. And he was being called the great power of God. Can you just imagine? It was not just trick, which we see it with the children, right? You know, you put a hand and there's a pigeon comes out. He was known as the great power of God. So just imagine what he may have done. He may have done a lot of things which no one can imagine. And it is not magic. It is witchcraft. It is demonic. He had received a divine power in the spiritual realm of dark and evil. And then looks at Philip and says, wow. He is so. He's another level. And we read that in verse 12 and 13. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Both men and women were baptized. Simon himself believed and was baptized. Who believed? Simon the sorcerer himself believed and he was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So this man looks at him and says, wow. And he says, I want to believe in this. What you are doing is real. And I want to believe and get baptized. Not only that, he says, I will follow you. Everywhere you go, I will be there with you. You know, the Bible says he believed and baptized. And it also says that he followed Philip everywhere he went. And everyone, and also says that he was astonished. So, you know, this person believed and he was baptized and he also became a follower of this great personality called as Philip. But what happened later is, I'll read this, Acts 8 verse 14:24, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John. So there are people in Jerusalem. They heard that Philip, he's preaching there and there are people who have been accepting Jesus. So they say, okay, let's send Peter and John to that place. When they arrived, they prayed for new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at laying in the apostles' hands, he offered them money. So he saw that there's a new spirit, there's a new power. When Peter and John is laying their hands, there's something extraordinary happening. And he's saying, I want this as well. So he goes to Peter and John. He says, I'm giving you money. Give me this power. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on the apostles' hands, he offered money and said, give me also the ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God. Not ability, but gift of God. With money, you have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." So I want to bring this, just go backward. He believed. Not only he believed, he was baptized. He was also baptized. But we see that there is no real conviction in his life. He still thinks that he can achieve things through money and ability. He has not understood what is the power of God. Even though he saw, he experienced, he followed people, but still he did not experience the power of God. What does the Bible say? What does Peter talk about this man? Peter says, "Your heart is not right before God." Peter says, "You are full of bitterness." Peter says, or the Holy Spirit says, or God says, "You are captive to sin." And what is our state this morning? Baptized? Believed? Followed? Have we set our heart right with God this morning? Are we sitting here with full of bitterness? Are we captive of sin? Very interesting questions this morning for all of us, including myself. Believed and baptized. Peter is talking about those people. And he is not saying this through human word. He is saying from the Spirit. So any of this we can carry and we may follow. We may do things. But this morning, God loves us. We believe? That's the word for us this morning. He wants us to set things right. I don't know what in our life is not set yet right in the sight of God. You know, he knows everything about us. Every minute detail about us. He loves and cares for us. I've written, that's why this message for us this morning. So, let's set things right with God first. How is our relationship with God? Can you hear God? Can you experience the Spirit of God? Set things right with God. Peter says, "You are full of bitterness." Let's not hold bitterness on others because of a hurt we have carried. No one is perfect. Forgive and let go. The Holy Spirit, the outpouring, will not happen in our life if this happened. We may be baptized, we may be believed, we may be a follower of Christ. Forgive. Full of bitterness he was. Forgive the hurts we have carried and move on from this place. Before you walk out from this place, forgive the hurts. Don't carry bitterness. And set things right with God. And the third thing it says, he was a captive to sin. Basically, he was maybe bonded slave of sin, something he was doing secretly, or others may have known, not sure. But Peter talking to him straightforward on his face, where he is not objecting whatever Peter is saying. When Peter is saying, you are captive of sin, he is saying, pray for me. Are you struggling with something which you and me were not supposed to do? Pornography? Lust? Gossip? Cheating? Not following the law of the land? Fooling others? And God's interested in our life this morning. His love and compassion over the period of over the people of Samaria was great. So we have to look at our state this morning and look at this and say, God, I'm ready to set things right. I'm ready to let go my bitterness. I'm ready to come out from the things which you don't want me to do or say. And His grace is sufficient for us this morning. And now there's a final personality who comes in. Eunuch. And let's read this out. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go to the south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out on his way. He met the Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means the queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. On his way home, was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and eunuch went down in the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared to Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So who was this another great personality? He had a high ranking. You know, he was an official in charge of Queen's treasury. And he was rich enough to have his own chariot. And he was also rich enough to hold a scroll or a scripture portion, which usually kept only in sacred places. So because of his position and influence and authority, he had one of the copy of the scroll, which he can use it for his personal use. And he was powerful. He can make demands. But yet with all this, this eunuch was an outsider because of the Jewish customs. Precisely, he was not allowed to enter inside the temple of Jerusalem because he was a eunuch. And he cannot participate fully to the worship. And that is where this man went to worship in the temple of Jerusalem. But he's reading a scripture portion from the book of Isaiah, which talks about the birth and the death of Jesus Christ and his suffering. And when I was preparing this message, you know what came up? The gospel is for all. It's for eunuch. It's for a sorcerer. It is for the LGBT community. It's for everyone. You can't stop. It spreads out. Everyone is invited to partake in this. A eunuch is invited to take part in this. A sorcerer, you know, who does witchcraft, is invited to take part in it. A persecutor's, which we will see in another chapters, coming chapters, he is invited to take part in the gospel. So the invitation of the gospel is for everyone, irrespective of our caste, irrespective of the language, irrespective of our drawn attention to a specific gender, irrespective of anything, the gospel spreads out and it is open for anyone and for everyone. That's how the gospel works. That's how the Holy Spirit works. You know, one man who is in the wilderness, the Spirit of the Lord, the angel comes and tells him first, go to this person and go meet. And he just goes. And I was just imagining, it says he ran behind the chariot. Can you think about this? A top guy sitting in the chariot and Philip is running behind. And he's talking to him. Do you understand what you're reading? He says, I don't understand. I need someone to come and help me and know. He says, come inside, invites him, and he goes inside the chariot. Look at Philip. The Spirit of Lord, from where he's coming from? He was just giving dal chawal food at one place. Very interestingly, you know, I loved to look at the life of Philip. From this, he decided to go. He was becoming a very influential person in that place. Miracles were happening. People were following him. And he, the angel of the Lord says, go where? Actually this place, the wilderness, the ends of the earth, which we read in the book. The scholars say it is the first place where one African, that is the eunuch, was reached. The gospel, ends of the earth, desert. And there is where Philip is being asked to go. And he decides to go. And he don't know, very interestingly, don't know who is that person, where he will meet, what is the name. He was not given anything. The Bible says on his way, he saw. You know, he believed. The Spirit of the Lord told him, this is the man. Run. The Spirit say, and he runs behind this chariot. He decides to go. The gospel will only reach out to people like this when we decide to move out from this four corners of church and our home. There's a community waiting like this. Who will share with me? That was the eunuch's question. I don't understand what you're saying. Why don't I understand what people are talking? I need explanation. You and myself are the one who would give this explanation to our friends, to our families, to our neighborhood, to this community outside. He decides to go. And I running towards it. He's running. He knows very clear where he is going. And he chose to invest that time with the eunuch. He did not say, okay, you get down. I'm ready to come in. I'm ready to come in your place. When he was invited, he went in the chariot. He invested time. And he shares the good news of the gospel. And I loved this guy as well. He was a very influential man. And he knew the word. And he desired for more. He's ready to listen from others. He's going to the temple. Temple, okay? Means the greatest place. He's going there to learn. And he's coming back from there. And someone is saying on the road, do you understand this? He did not look him down. He said, tell me. Openness to change. Willing to accept. And we know. And that is how the gospel reached towards Africa. Towards that part. Because scholars say he was towards that side of desert where he was the first convert. And it doesn't stop there. We see Philip being again taken. You know, he says, I accept Jesus. And he gets baptized. And he was taken by the Spirit again. And he was taken to another place. A fascinating character, Philip. The way God led him. First of all, he was led to Samaria through persecution. He was led to Gaza by an angel. He was led to an Ethiopian chariot by the Spirit. And then he found himself at Azotus. The Bible says he then passed through various towns, preaching the gospel before entering Caesarea, where he lived at least 20 years, raising a family with 4 daughters devoted to Christ. But none of this had been planned by Philip. And this man is coming from a place where he was serving the widows. So this morning, and we all are here, people need love. People need explanation. People need acceptance. People need the truth. Unless and until we are not scattered, moved out, running behind that passion and goal which God has called us for, we would be martyrs in Jerusalem by Saul. We will die off one day. You know, the good news is for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So this morning, the invitation for all of us. Everyone is invited to take part in this great gospel community. And others are still waiting for it to know what actually this is all about. And we see from the life of Philip, the life of Simon the sorcerer, the life of from this eunuch, the life of Saul, so many things which this morning God's reminding us. I'll just take a few minutes this morning. Allow the gospel to work in our lives. It has power. It has life. It heals. It delivers. It restores. It gives vision. It gives passion. It leads. It directs. It is more than magic or sorcery. It is real. If we believe this morning, and come and see. Come and see. The invitation is for you this morning. So we'll just take a minute, just reflect back on our lives this morning. And I believe God has spoken to us. If God is reaching out to an outcast of the society, a eunuch, from there we know the heart of God. And we read that verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It is for everyone, any caste, any creed, diverse, irrespective of their orientation, their sexual orientation, the community, LGBT community, or a eunuch, or a person who have been in a prison, who has killed, murdered, raped. The gospel is for everyone because it challenges that, it transforms and gives life. Are you willing to be Philip in the lives of others? Are you going to decide and say, I will go, Lord? He decided to go. The gospel was so much that in his life that he was not content, and it was outpouring wherever he went. Can we outpour with our friends? To our neighbors. I talked about the biggest setback of our church. Not even one person being invited and said, this is my neighbor, this is my friend. I'm talking including myself. He moved out. He decided to run before someone who didn't he knew. Investing time in the life of others. And God challenging this morning was, this invitation was not only for you, it is also for others. Will you decide this morning that I become a changed person and I move out? Or I am a person still like a sorcerer, a Simon, who's full of bitterness, full of unforgiveness, full of captivity of our own struggles? Or we are the person like who have not set things right with God. And God wants us to come to the other side and say, look at my son Jesus. His grace is sufficient for you to become a person like him. May God give us the grace in the coming days. May we seek opportunities to share the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We seek opportunities. He was waiting in the desert. Saw and ran behind it. Gave his time, energy, because he knew the outpouring can't be stopped. He tasted it. And I believe we all have tasted it here. It needs to outpour in the coming days. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for this wonderful time you have given us. Thank you for speaking to us. Your heart is to encourage, edify, and allow us to move ahead, Lord. Help us that we acknowledge the word of the Holy Spirit, the desire of our God in our lives, that we be a changed person when we move out from this place this morning. Bless you. We thank you. Bless the hands who are given. Bless them, Lord. Let give them more. May the love of the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will remain with us for now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you. Encourage you all to